glad you're here tonight. Say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Appreciate the Lord moving in our song service and dealing with hearts there. Let's take our Bibles tonight for a few moments. We're going to be in the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, chapter number 19. 1 Kings 19 tonight. Last Sunday morning, we were in 1 Kings, and last Sunday night, we were in 1 Kings. I want this to be a continuation in some sorts of last Sunday morning. Last Sunday morning, we preached on the subject of when Elijah ran away. And we spoke of Elijah when he was on top of Mount Carmel. And of course, we know that he challenged the false prophets, prophets of Baal and prophets of the grove, I believe, at Jezebel's table were involved. And we know that it was during this contest that, of course, we know Elijah won that contest and God answered by fire. And prophets of Baal did not. They called on Baal all day, in fact. And Elijah mocked them and made fun of them. And we know that just after fire fell from heaven on top of Mount Carmel and licked up the water, consumed the sacrifice and all the rest, we know that Elijah came down from the mountain and he actually ran about 19 miles to the gates of Jezreel. And there he waited on Ahab. We know that Ahab went in and told Jezebel, his wife, about the contest and what had happened and how Elijah is now wanting to reform God worship. And so Jezebel, she sent a messenger to the gate. And with that message, Elijah ran and he flees from her. I believe that Jezebel wanted Elijah to believe he was going to die. And that's all it took, was the very threat of his life, and he was gone. We talked about last Sunday morning how that the devil works in the same sorts. He wants us to believe we're not going to make it. Once we start believing and actually start to dwell upon that idea, negative actions do follow. We can find ourselves in a place of despair if we're not careful. And so we see that Elijah, he ran from Jezebel, and we know that in verse number 5 of 1 Kings 19, that he laid under a juniper tree, and we know an angel touched him, and he arose from his sleep. Elijah wanted to die. He didn't want to die publicly. He wanted to die privately. He wanted to just go to sleep and not wake up. Because if he died publicly by the hand of the enemy, it would be a reproach upon the name of God. So he wanted to die privately. God didn't let it happen. Aren't you glad for the prayers that God don't answer? The times in life where we feel fatigued and we feel like that, and we start to believe the lies of the enemy that we're not going to make it. We can't overcome. We want to give up. Yet the Lord doesn't allow that to happen. Thank God for unanswered prayer. The times where we want to throw in the towel. And so we see that Elijah was woke up by this angel. And he was given food and cake. Angel cake is what we said. Elijah went back asleep a second time. And then the angel touched him again, the Bible says. And he awoke. And then in verse number 7, the Bible says of 1 Kings 19. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And so there it is again. There was yet a path for Elijah to walk on. There was yet work for him to do. Verse number 8, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. We see in verse number 8 that there was some kind of transfer. Elijah went 40 days and nights in the strength of literally one or two meals. And so that tells me, that Elijah was feasting off of his relationship with God. He was going in the strength of that one meal. There's no indication that he was faint. There was no indication that he wanted food. It just shows that when we encounter God in our low moments in life, it can be a game changer for the better. But tonight I want to draw our attention to verse number 9, down through verse number 18. And I want to talk to you on this subject tonight for a few moments. The challenge that comes with success. The challenge that comes with success. No doubt Elijah was at a place of success, at least when he was on Mount Carmel. Again, he called fire down from heaven and consumed the altar, and he defeated, at least we know, 450, probably more along the lines of 850 false prophets. He defeated them. He was a successful man. But you see, he had a moment of weakness in Jezebel and all of the rest of the scenario that's attached to it, and he left. Believed he was going to die. And now Elijah is still in that melancholy mindset. He's in a cave now. And he has passion, he has zeal, because he says in verse number 10, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. So Elijah has passion. But his passion is being transferred into retreating from where he should be. And now he is wanting there to be some kind of penalty against Israel. He is angered in a sense. You know, I believe it was Bobby Cox. I was reading his statistics, the former owner or former manager of the Braves, not long ago. And I was shocked what really stood out to me. Now, we know that the Braves have at least, or they have one World Series victory, 1995. 1995, they won the World Series. And they have many, many division titles. But Bobby Cox holds the ultimate title. I mean, he holds the record, and get this, for being thrown out of his own ball games. He holds the record of being penalized and thrown out of his own ball game. They were successful in 1995. But there were some challenges along the way. And here we see that Elijah, he is now a cave dweller. He's still dealing with some of those issues back from what had happened on Mount Carmel. And he fled from Jezebel, and now he is here trying to reflect, trying to come out, and trying to maintain where he left off. The challenge that comes with success. And there are challenges that comes when God blesses. To whom much is given, much is required. Things change and your platform becomes smaller in a sense when it comes to the enemy and the allurements of the world, because the world, the enemy, the devil wants you to fall. So there's different challenges. But I just want to mention a few things tonight, and I hope it makes sense to you. I got it in here. I hope it comes out the right way, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight. Number one, the challenge that comes with success can be self-sufficiency. Look, if you would, in verse number 9. He says, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And notice Elijah's response in verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. Well, that's a good thing. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. Here it is again. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. You see, Elijah was successful, but he got to a place where he retreated on God. He got off of that firing line. He was at the place where he should be. He was on Carmel. He was reforming worship back to God. And the fire fell. But then Jezebel came along. He started believing a lie that he was going to lose his life. And so now Elijah is, he is looking within himself to maintain his success. Either he uses the letter I here at least three different times. He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He says the very same thing down in verse number 14. Elijah is at a place of self-sufficiency. And he is looking for means within himself to turn back around and go right back to Jezreel. To go right back to the place of God. He is looking within. God, I'm the only one. I have all the courage, Lord. I have all the power through you, of course, Lord. But Lord, I just can't do it. It's just me. I'm the only one left. We know that wasn't true. Because we know that Obadiah, he alone hid, the Bible says, I believe it was around 100 to 150 prophets. It was at least that many hid ready to go with him to help. But sometimes in life, if we're not careful, God will, he will lead us and guide us and instruct us. But we can get to a place of feeling like we have to maintain this. We have to keep all this up. But the truth of the matter is, we don't have to because we didn't get us here. It's God who got us here. Wherever you're at in your Christian life, whatever maturity level you're on, whatever gains you have, whatever victories you have, whatever gains I have, whatever maturity level I'm on, it all is contributed to the Lord God Almighty. And so when troubled times come and there's still responsibilities out there and there's still things that have to be accomplished and you just can't rush through them, they must be prayed over. They must be agonized over. They must be thought about. They must be pondered while everyone else is off having fun and doing their own thing. Here you are. You're dwelling over it and thinking about it. Listen, if we're not careful, we will look to ourselves that we're the ones who allows the wheel to turn, but really it's the Lord. Now, I'm not saying tonight that we're not to be serious and we're not to be sober-minded, because we are. We are to pray over things. We are to agonize even at times over big decisions and things as we live life and lead people. But Elijah was at that place. He said again, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, and that's a good thing. For the children of Israel, in verse 10, have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. As a result of his self-sufficient thinking, it's too much, Lord, it's too big, he went to a cave. And back in verse number 9, I want you to notice that this was at Horeb, Mount Horeb. And some believe, most commentators believe, that this is the same place where the Lord hid Moses in the cleft of the rock and passed by him, and he seen his hinder parts. And it was a place where God was real to Moses. But now Elijah's here. Some say, well, Elijah was going on a spiritual retreat. He wanted to be at the same place Moses was at. He wanted to be at the same place where, you know, others were at, so he could have good and close devotions with God. If you keep reading, we know the reason why he was there. because he felt like he was the only one serving God. And he, again, this melancholy mindset he had, this it was still drifting over from the juniper tree experience. And now he is at this cave. We see a self-sufficient one here. There was self-sufficiency when Elijah was experiencing success. Not only do I want to say that there's self-sufficiency at times if we're not careful, but in verse number 9, I want you to notice that there's also special devotions attached to these times. Special devotions. There's self-sufficiency and can be the challenge that comes with success. But then in verse number 9, we see that there were special devotions. In verse number 9, he says, "And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah?" Now we know and we see and we've just read that the word of the Lord came to him where he was at. It was when Elijah was out in society when he was being used of God, not in a cave. You remember when the Lord spoke to him and told him to leave the brook Cherith and go to Zarephath. And there was a widow woman there to sustain him. God used him publicly and in society there with the widow woman. And so it was in society, in public, when God was using Elijah. But not in secret. Not in a cave. And Elijah was dwelling upon his own ability, and it wasn't very much because he's dwelling in a cave and the Lord spoke to him, came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" But you know, in spite of Elijah's decision to hide himself, God still came to him. God still spoke to him. You remember John the Revelator? When John was exiled to the island called Patmos for the word of God and his testimony in kind of like manner, but John was being obedient and he was sharing Jesus and preaching Jesus, and he was arrested and taken to this lonely, lonely island called Patmos. Let me remind all of us that it was at Patmos where he seen the Lord in his revelations, and he penned down the book of Revelations. Now, we know that John was obedient, and Elijah here, he had a tough spot in his ministry, and he couldn't make sense out of a lot of things, and yet he's being successful, but at the same time, there's challenges here because he's looking to himself, yet God visited him. God visits with us. Whether we're good, whether we're bad, whether we're indifferent, I'm glad that we serve a Lord that comes to us. That's nothing more, nothing less than the mercy of God. God is so merciful, church. He comes to us. When we're up, he comes to us. When we're down, he comes to us. Whether we're like Elijah, we're going from a juniper tree to a cave, he comes to us because he has work for us to do. Not in the cave, not under the tree, but out on the forefront, he comes to us. Or whether we're like John, who was obedient unto death, exiled to the island called Patmos, and there it was that he seen God's word, the book of Revelation, he came to John. Whatever the case, we cannot escape the Lord's presence. And what I'm trying to say tonight is simply this: living for Jesus, being his witness, and God elevating the ministry in the meantime, whatever ministry that is, that God is using in your life, whatever avenue, whatever part of life that God is elevating, there can be the temptation to be self-sufficient. But I'm glad that even during those times, there are secret devotions. God has a way of whispering words. Now, Elijah was here in this cave, and I'm the only one left. And so Elijah was looking inward to himself, but yet there were special devotions. In verse number 9, "And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" We know verse number 10, Elijah is explaining. Verse number 14, Elijah explains again. But I want you to notice a third thing tonight. Not only the secret devotions can be wrapped up in this challenge that comes with success, and not only self-sufficiency come along with this challenge that comes with success, but then lastly, a surrendered will should come along with this challenge that comes with success. If you notice in verse number 11, after Elijah speaks of his aggravation and anger, he's the only one. In verse number 11, the Bible says, "And he said," speaking of the Lord, "go forth. Go forth. And stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break it in pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?'" Again, he repeats in verse number 14, but verse number 15, the Lord sends him on his mission. Now, back in verse number 11, in verse number 12, both, verse number 13, really, 11 through 13, we see a surrendered will. And what I mean by that is God showed himself mighty here. Look in verse number 11. "And he said, 'Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. A great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind.'" So he showed his might in the wind. "And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake." He caused a literal earthquake, the foundations to shake. "And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire." And so he showed his power through fire, through this earthquake, through the wind. But he does something different here. He was wanting Elijah to be at rest and wanting him to know that the reason for his fleeing was for the case, the cause that he was worried. He fretted all of these people and Jezebel. And so God said, "Here we go. Bam, an earthquake." God said, and God made the motion, and there's the wind, broke it in pieces. God demonstrated the fire, and there's the fire. And so really, God was calming Elijah before he even asked for his power, asked for all of these supernatural things. God was showing him something about stillness. In verse number 12, "And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?'" What I believe, God showed his power, and that assured Elijah. "Elijah, hey, get back on course. If I want to send the thunder, I will. If I want to send the rain, I will. If I want to use a great wind to come along, I will. If I want to use fire like I did with you on top of Mount Carmel, I will. But Elijah, be at rest. Elijah, be at peace with yourself." The Bible says that the Lord was in, it was a still small voice, God showing him. And then Elijah, in verse number 13, when he heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle. I feel like that was a sign of humility, remorse. Oh God, I knew I knew you could have sustained me there, Lord. Back when I came down from Carmel and I was at the gates of Jezreel, but I looked to myself. Lord, Jezebel had me believing I was going to die. God, I know you could have protected me, but I looked to myself. Lord, I'm here in this cave, and Lord, I'm the only one, only I, and ever. There's nobody else to uphold your name, to reform back to worship to you. Lord, I just felt like I was the only one, but God, you're able to raise up others. Lord, you have a remnant left for me. And Lord, I know you're able. I get the point, Lord. In the big times of life, when things are busy and things are hard, Lord, I can still hear your voice and you still have a whisper mode on me. And Lord, even the quiet times of life, when things are going steady and things are going fine, Lord, I rejoice in that. I feel like Elijah here when he wraps his face in his mantle, he surrenders to the fact that God was the one who got me to where I was at. And God is the one that will sustain me where I'm at. And this God is the one that's going to lead me to where I need to go. And so Elijah was surrendering, wrapping his face in his mantle, saying, Lord, I surrender all. You know, many times when we're out there on a limb in our responsibilities, praying and agonizing over things, trying to do what we do to the utmost, sometimes we get distracted by the bigness of things and we forget that God is able to intervene in all of those big matters if he wants to. You see, Elijah had all of that in front of him, and so he retreated to this cave. But it was at the cave that God assured him in a small voice that he's there and that he'll always be there. And then we see in verse number 15, and the Lord said unto him, go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Elijah has some people to anoint for ministry. God wasn't through with him. And then we read on down, and then God allows Elijah to meet Elisha. If they want to come with a song tonight, I want to say tonight that there is a challenge that comes with success. And what I mean by success is, I just mean moving forward with Jesus. You know, there's challenges that come. And like how God showed Elijah the fire, the wind, the earthquake, and the Lord wasn't in that, but yet the still small voice, God was preaching a message that he was with him then and was well able to intervene then. And so for Elijah to just be calm and trust him. Same message for us tonight. Same message. As we move forward with the Lord, God is able to do big things. God's able to do anything. All we have to do is trust him. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight. We're thankful for who you are, for what you do. I hope the message was understood, Lord. I pray that you'd use it to strengthen the hearts of your people. And God, I pray that we would continue to trust you, not to allow the winds of this world to overwhelm us because you made the winds, but allow us to slow down and concentrate on you, Lord. You can speak through all of these diversities of life. And we can maintain our path you put us on. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. And if you need to come and pray, you can come.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all to him.
Anybody tonight?
I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all.
We're going to continue to sing, and this is the invitation. You come if you need to come. Anybody else, start your week off right. He'll give you the assurance you need.
Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee. Blessed Savior, I surrender all.
I tell you what, just play softly. Brother Selon, would you pray just an altar prayer while these are praying? Give it another second.